Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the subcommittee. I appreciate this opportunity to testify today, and I would ask that my written testimony and the charts and data that we submitted be submitted into the record. Thank you very much. I'm Tom Bias. I'm CEO of Growth Energy. We represent 79 ethanol plants and 81 associate members and about 40,000 grassroots supporters at Growth Energies. Our members, our plant members, utilize grain, corn, and sorghum to make biofuels, but they've also invested very heavily in what we call next generation production, both cellulose. We have a plant that's currently under construction in Iowa that will use farm waste, corn stover, to produce cellulosic ethanol that should be online first of next year. We have another plant in Iowa that's actually capturing carbon from the corn ethanol plant and feeding it to algae bioreactors. That is about a 20-acre bioreactor process that can be seen there, and we have others that have invested into using woody biomass. So the first generation of ethanol producers, which we primarily represent, are all invested in next generation, both to meet the greenhouse gas emissions targets and the targets of the RFS. The RFS, in our opinion, is an overwhelming success. You know, it's injected much-needed competition and consumer choice into the fuel markets. We're only a little over 5 years since the passage of that law, and only 3 years since the rules were finalized, and already we're producing 10% of our nation's gasoline supply. It's lowered the price at the pump. It's created American jobs. It's revitalized rural America, including farm income. It's improved the environment and made our nation more energy independent. Some want to see this policy fail, as we've heard today and elsewhere. But keep in mind, not only are we producing 10% today in a very short period of time because of the RFS, but we can do more in the future. With oil approaching $110 a barrel and gasoline nearing $4 a gallon, does anyone believe we don't need a less expensive, competitive alternative to oil? That was one of the purposes of the RFS originally. We have that competitive product today. And despite what some on the first panel said, ethanol is the cheapest fuel in the world. We are 67 cents a gallon cheaper than clear gasoline. And even when they challenge or come back with the BTU unit, they're not counting the value of octane in the refining of that fuel. Our efficiency keeps improving. Energy use, water use keep declining, while yield and productivity is increasing from every pound of feedstock we use. Despite this data, some are trying to blame biofuels for driving up gas prices. It's just another scare tactic to try to eliminate what I consider the best energy law that passed by Congress in the last 40 years. RIN prices are not the cause of higher gas prices. There's 2.6 billion surplus RINs that can be used in the marketplace for this year. We're going to produce about 13 billion gallons of ethanol and biofuels. Last year, in the same situation with a short crop and a short production, RIN prices were 2 or 3 cents a gallon, and we still had high gasoline prices. So all this doesn't square. But the real cause of higher gasoline prices and RIN prices is self-inflicted by the obligated parties who refuse to blend higher levels of ethanol. The real cause of higher gas prices is unrest in the Middle East, refinery outages, speculation, and increased demand. Ethanol's competitive price is why Growth Energy led the way in asking the EPA to approve the use up to 15% ethanol fuel. That's how you break the blend wall. That's how you resolve all the controversy that we were hearing today. We could see it coming, Mr. Chairman. One of the reasons to go into E15 is even with the rosy scenario laid out in 2007 on fuel consumption, we were going to have to go to higher blends. That's why we filed it. That will allow the marketplace plenty of space for next generation biofuels. The RFS and the E15, as I just mentioned, go hand in hand. E15 is the most tested fuel in the history of fuel changes. DOE performed a comprehensive test driving using 86 different vehicles, a total of 6 million miles. They found no harm to emissions equipment and no issues with engine durability, the two requirements for granting a waiver under the Energy Independence Security Act. By contrast, the CRC study that gets mentioned by our critics only tested 8 vehicles, 2 of which had known engine issues. They did not test these engines on E10 and only tested 3 of the 8 on ethanol-free gasoline, and even one of those failed. It was a flawed test designed to make a political point to eliminate the cracking of the blend wall. The E15 waiver is only approved for light-duty vehicles built after 2001 and flex-fuel vehicles. It's not approved for off-road vehicles, small engines, motorcycles, or marine engines. In fact, it's illegal for those vehicles to use it, and it's stated so on the label that must be acquired on any station offering E15. The stations that have been offering E15, the results are pretty amazing. One of the myths that's perpetuated by the oil industry is that consumers don't want higher blends. Well, how do they know if they've never been offered them? Where they have been offered them, we're seeing volumes go up significantly. In one case from a retailer that testified at a congressional briefing last week, his volumes quadrupled in a year. They have not had access to that marketplace, so let's let the consumer have a choice. I would also add that over the past 2.5 seasons, NASCAR, which has quite a bit of its reputation stake on the durability and performance of its race cars, has put 4 million miles on those cars without a problem. They got increased horsepower and increased performance.
Mr. Bias, I've let you go over about 2 minutes. Could you summarize, please?
All right. I would just like to summarize, Mr. Chairman, saying that to repeal the RFS is unnecessary. To reform it is also unnecessary. We feel that there's enough flexibility within the law that all of these issues can be addressed. And if we want to get beyond the problem, let's crack that blend wall.